Now you've got me saying on camera. That whatever you call it.
Yeah, I mean, it is Tango TV, but it's strictly not Tango TV.
Okay, shall we get down to business?
Yes, or rather we'll just be discussing things for hours. Okay. Just to like a quick one on the formatting, you want to do like any introductory stuff and then just... Or should we just quite literally record talk?
No, let's... well, what are we going to call each other? Are we going to use real names or are we going to use our handles on Doomworld?
It wouldn't be weird if we used our handles. Let's just stick with that, I think.
I'm going to say Tango and Bonds, if that's okay. I'm Zazer.
Otherwise, the listeners will be like, have they become, like...
Who are those people?
Intimately related.
Well, actually, okay. Yeah. Ooh, that would be not awkward at all.
Exactly.
Oh. All right.
Okay, well...
But yeah, I guess I'm ready when you guys are.
Yep.
Okay, well, it's recording, so anytime works.
Oh, thanks. That was... Yeah.
Oh, wait, I actually have to say stuff now? I'm not ready! No! Everyone run away! Mute your mics.
Okay.
Stop using your speakers.
This is the voice of Zazer.
Yes. This is the Zazer person speaking, aka Sir Zazerius, the noble great of yore. I did not come up with that title, except that I did.
Breaker on.
Yes.
And this
that's the best introduction I can come up with. Yes.
You came up with that when you were 8 years of age, weren't you?
I honestly can't remember how long ago I came up with Zazer, but I was randomly, of all things, so you know, as a kid, you're always, I don't know if anybody else does this, but you play something, like a game or a TV show, and you wonder, what would it be like if I was in the TV show? You kind of create your own character and mentally put yourself there. I did this, of all things, with an old PC demo of Final Fantasy VII. I was, as like a seven-year-old, thinking, what would it be like if I was a Final Fantasy character? And I needed a name. And I randomly, out of nowhere, pulled this idea of some guy who can shoot laser beams out of his hands and changed the word laser into Zazer. That's where it came from. And since then, I actually have made a legit character based on it, which is kind of sometimes awkward because I've got a couple of little projects where there's a character named Zazer, and most people say, oh, it's the author inserting himself. And well, wow. I guess it's somewhat true to a degree, but it was a character's name before it was mine. I just kind of stuck with it. But official retcons is it stands for X-ray amplification by stimulated emission of radiation.
My goodness, you've put a lot of thought into this.
Yes. Remember that? Okay, I didn't say the warning on camera, as I seem to call it, on camera, on voice, one of the same.
Uh-huh.
When I get off on tangents, I'll go forever. So,
we'll interrupt. We'll have to. I mean, I had no idea when I asked the question it was going to be that long. The reply.
Yes. So long story short, it's just something random I made up, and now I've got 1,001 explanations for it. So it's just a goofy name, and I'm just lucky I came up with the one that I'm happy with sticking
and,
with.
Well, you're lucky it still works, like 12 years later, because...
Yeah.
Well, I used to do that as well, except mine never lasted more than a month. Anyway.
You said you designed a character named Zazer? Is that your avatar?
Sort of. I never actually drew the avatar image, but that's a... So there's been a couple of different iterations of the character. Yeah, few of us have done all sorts of crazy RPs and stuff and fleshed out all sorts of weird canon.
Right.
But I was browsing through a random Flash guy, a guy who does Flash animations, Vinny Veritas. Awesome stuff. And he had a random picture on his site, an illustration, which had a character right there that looked exactly like my character. It's like, huh, weird. I didn't know I was in this. And I just, that's where the image comes from, the little guy with the shades and the really crazy yellow hair. That's more or less what my character looks like, but I didn't actually draw it. I just found it on an image and thought, oh, hey, cool, that's me, and I've been using it ever since.
Yeah, there are a lot of people, such as yourself, that I have no idea where the hell their avatars came from, but now I know.
Yes, if you, just Vinny, V-I-N-N-I, awesome stuff. Got to rep him because he does really cool animations.
It ties in pretty well with your personality, though, I think. it's just become the trademark, or it would be. It's an avatar. Oh. But, I mean, just talking about, like, personality and maps for a moment, just making that segue work, you have a pretty, like, zany sort of design philosophy going on, I've noticed. I mean, if you take a look at maps like Sector from Zedpack, for example? Yeah, exactly. Z-Doom, correct. We've had that discussion before. And then, like, Helix from Matt 15 of Plutonium Revisited, like, stuff like that. I mean, where do you get these ideas, or do you? Do they just sort of come to you, or do you have to think about it extensively?
Sometimes a little of both. It's a very different approach in both of them, because with Helix, I literally just plopped down in an editor after reading the Plutonium Revisited thread when it was just starting, and I was like, I wonder if I can make a map for this, and just sat down with no ideas whatsoever and started drawing a spiral in the editor, and it just kind of... It kind of came out of nowhere. So yeah, I guess it just spins. My brain kind of spins out of control and makes things like that. But Sector, I actually did plan really far in advance because it's an idea I've wanted to do forever. The idea of self-building architecture. It's kind of a Jim Flynn inspired thing because he did a lot of that with Vanilla. He would make things that would change in the strangest ways. One of my favorites of his was like an Eternal Doom level where you had the staircase that would build up in opposite directions as you went up. Map 25. See, more tangents.
That's probably why I never saw. I never got that far.
It takes a lot of patience. I would just warp, honestly. It's Eternal is great and terrible all at once, just because if there were like 100% less switch hunts, I think everybody would love it.
It's fantastic for the same reason it's flawed, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, I just had the idea of making kind of an extended, insane Z-Doom version of that for a while, and went all out and made the whole, hey, it's a big brown box that turns into a level thing. And I think
and
it's the most painful thing I've ever made in Doom, though. Oh, gosh.
It's also painfully secluded. I mean, it's tucked away in like the secret map of Episode 3. I think we're just hoping that people will be using the warp command in these instances, because there are some real treats tucked away there. But I digress.
There's no such thing as digressing when I'm... So yeah, that's Sector and Helix kind of in a nutshell. One was planned, one wasn't. No real consistency there, I guess.
Do you otherwise like have a plan? Because I remember talking to you once on IRC and you said, this is obviously a topic that crops up very often in the forums. People always ask, you know, what do you do when you sit down in front of a computer and you open up Doom Builder or whatever editor you're using? And do you have an idea beforehand? Or do you never have an idea? Do you just... Cause I think you said that you never have a plan. It's a completely different process every time. You might not go for the layout first. You might have something in mind. Is it always so chaotic and zazery?
I guess so. The only thing consistent about the way I approach mapping is that there's no consistency. That's it. I just, because I've drawn out maps beforehand. I've jumped into maps without doing them before. And I actually love it when this happens. One of my my absolute favorite feeling about mapping is when you can go in and make something and you're sitting here thinking, I have no idea what I'm doing. This is awful. And then you stop and you try it in game and you stop and think, huh, that's actually not so bad. I had no idea what it just did, but that works.
Oh, right.
It's like that feeling of I'm completely improvising and have no idea what's going on. And this actually is okay. I guess I'll stick with it. It's kind of more of a relief because you realize, oh, that thing I just made, I don't have to spend time deleting it. Thank you.
It sounds wonderful, but I never have that experience, I'm afraid. The occasional epiphany, maybe, but I'm still pretty new to map maping. Anyway.
Do you, on the topic of wanting to save things that you make, I find that a lot of times... I'll make something, and then by the end of like the 2 hours I spend making it, I absolutely hate it. So I often just start over from scratch. So in that sort of situation, do you generally try to how do you feel about scraps that you have? Like, do you always try and salvage things, or are you really okay with just starting over?
I'll definitely start over, but if I ever have to completely scrap something, I'll either push it aside or copy it to another WAD or otherwise start something new so the old scrap isn't there. Like, I'm kind of an archivist when it comes to WADs. I won't delete anything, so I've got old versions of tons of stuff just floating around, aborted maps, half-finished ideas, because not everything comes to light. It'd be silly if I said it did. there's a lot of stuff that sort of seems like it would work and not quite. So that's why the other thing's a good feeling, because it's not common, I guess.
Right.
But yeah, I'll keep old scraps around. No real qualms from starting from scratch, but if I get too far into something, then I found I actually won't let myself start over. Of all things, one of the... Oh, yes.
No, sorry, go ahead. Keep going.
No. Ah, see, I'm doing it again. I start talking.
That you find a point of no return, basically, in the, so you feel you must complete it. I mean,
kinda. Yeah. And must complete is a relative term, since I'm also kind of notorious for not completing things. I've got at least two projects, probably three, sitting at 95%. Oh, wow. Psychic and Necrodoom and a few others, and it's just hard to bring that to.
Oh wow, I'd actually forgotten about those. I was going to name a few others, to be honest.
Oh, okay. Thanks for that. Yes, actually, no. I feel free to name them because I want to know this. I want to hear the list.
Oh,
it's
well,
like,
you want to do some shameless self-promotion as well. I mean, it's an absolute necessity. You've got what do you have coming out at the moment? Coming out in quotation marks.
Oh, okay. All right. So if I meant that more of a, oh gosh, how bad am I actually doing this perspective way than a self-promotion way, but I guess current things I'm working on, quite a few maps for Back to Saturn X, about three or four-ish there, one
project
collaboration.
That doesn't exist, yeah.
Yeah, actually it's a rumor, I'm just telling you guys to get your hopes up. Yeah. There's that, Hacks 2.0 is pretty far off, but it's been making some pretty nice advances in the graphical department. If you haven't seen any of Cage's artwork, just zoom around, find the Hacks 2.0 forums, and see some of the spriting work he's done. It's amazing. It's ridiculous how much energy he brings to the project. So that's going to come out kind of long term. But if you want to talk about really recent stuff, No End in Sight is a 4-episode collaboration between me and Natural 20, Emil Brundage, who is kind of coincidentally my favorite mapper. It's kind of awkward. We'll get to that later.
Is that Lutz, by the way?
And yeah, Luce is involved too.
Okay. Okay.
Yep. Oh yeah, two of them. Yes. So it's us three working on a few maps, and that's getting pretty darn close. So there's actually, we're each working on a single map apiece. And it's enough that I want to say it'll be released later this year, but knowing me, don't quote me on that just yet. And the other big thing is it's been kind of mentioned a little bit, but it's a bit on the hush hush as far as the main forums have gone. But the Zedum Community Map Project number 2. Is on the verge of completion, and I've been tweaking up some last-minute things on that. That's actually what I have open right now in Doom Builder. So
I have to confess, I did take a sneak peek. I did steal into the forums and download a release. Yeah, I had to. I was intrigued because I'd actually just come off the bat of playing Tormentor's Refinery map, mm-hmm. and if he's listening, I your monster placement needs work. But I was interested. In seeing how like this new map could use monsters to well enough to that effect, so I just had to take a quick peek. Which area did you do? Oh, maybe that's not worth mentioning. It hasn't come out.
Well, there's actually it's kind of weird because I told myself I wasn't going to get very involved in it. At first I just did some of the I did the new weapons and some other stuff code wise. Of course, lots of graphics from other places. But after that, I told myself, nope, I'm not going to do anything. And somehow Torm and Grim managed to talk me into doing the boss. And since then, I've kind of taken on a semi-content manager role. So there's lots of little odds and ends I've kind of thrown in here and there. A couple little areas in the map I guess I could highlight that I've actually made. The most biggest, weirdest part, I guess, is those gigantic magma caverns to the north. I forgot to stop mapping and I...
Well,
another thing I tend to do is I will set out to make something small and easy, like Helix was going to be a few rooms, and then they turn into the longest, biggest maps in the... I don't know. I don't know when to stop.
And we're thankful for it. Good.
Thanks, I suppose, for not getting tired. Yes.
Mechadon also seems to have the same problem. Him and you both, you just keep going.
I completely agree, but I'm also kind of like, I'm not entirely convinced that Mechadon is human. I'm really not. He has Mech in the name for a reason. It's amazing.
I thought Inhuman was a title reserved for Eternal, to be honest, but there might be several of them.
I think that there's some kind of secret factory somewhere that's specializing in Doom-producing robots. Really awesome, cool ones, too. They have nice personalities. Thanks for that.
I think your suspicions are just.
Oh my gosh. Oh, see, this is how conspiracy theories get started. Running around trying to uncover the secret factory and figure out how to recruit them for their jobs. But seriously, like in the latest 32 and 24, up until almost the last release, Mechadon's map was just the rough layout, and it was almost all wood metal textures. That was the name of the map, look wood textures.
Yeah.
And then he submits a detailed version, and I'm like, how the hell did you do this in a week? Much less like 2 days. It would take me like 18 years to get that level of detail in a map, it seems like. And oh my gosh, it's amazing what you can do in such a short period of time.
It always seems to me that Velopax is sort of like his inflation space. Like, he can't contain himself. He just has to expand in some direction. And I'm still waiting for that to come out. But, I mean, if anyone's played those maps, they'll know it's just gigantic, and it's... I can't fathom enough words. It's kind of large. Basically.
Like, he's going to release it. It's going to be, like, 5 gigs of just map. I can see this happening.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I was definitely amazed by his latest 32 and 24. I think it had been like almost a full week, and I didn't think he was gonna pull through and submit something detailed. And then, yeah, when he comes in with twice the seg limit or whatever it was, it's that guy's insane.
Oh yeah, I forgot about it. He broke the seg limit.
Yeah,
like,
so then
Boom couldn't even load the map. No, it was Otomex. Otomex couldn't load it because it was still using the old seg limit.
Right.
There must be a certain pride when you reach that point.
That's an achievement.
And he apparently didn't even notice, because I think it was not until someone pointed it out after he posted the map that he realized he had broken the limit.
Yeah, and then he was like, I don't really know if I want to fix this. Just ditch it if you can't. And so Green Herring, bless his heart, managed to get it under. I don't know how that's possible either. Oh, gosh. Yeah, talk about people who are also awesome in machines.
Must have been just as much work as it did to detail it in the first place.
Probably so. Yeah, you know it's a bad sign when it takes forever to undetail something. Crap, I made this too good. Of course, having worked a bit on Doom the way it did, yeah. And back to Saturday Accent.
Yes, it gets a mention.
I know what happened. It's interesting. Yes. Yes, it does. Oh.
It's going to slot in there somewhere.
I would actually like to, I hope I'm not overstepping my boundaries here, because not a lot of info about the project has been released other than screenshots, but if you would like to talk about your introduction into Back to Saturn X and your whole mapping process for that project and how that's gone, I think that would be interesting to hear about.
That would be interesting, yeah.
Oh, it's really pretty cool, because I'm honored to be a part of it, because Back to Saturn X, kind of the way it seems to be structured, it's so, like, the mapping talent is, it's like a cream of the crop of the whole Doom community.
Yeah, it is.
Everyone Essel has picked out, which includes both of you guys. Yes, you do make good stuff. everyone knows what they're talking about. And stop contradicting me. I'm not good at arguing. I shouldn't do that. But it's just so cool to be part of a project that almost feels like a new game. It's amazing, just the texture work, the amount of effort that goes into it. Just looking back at some of the stuff that's been submitted to it so far, it really kind of fills you with all, like, whoa, I'm a part of this? No way. So I just randomly got invited by Essel. I guess that's kind of most people's process. He and I were talking to IRC, and he was like, hey, here's this thing we're working on. Wink. He kind of hinted towards it, and I started on a map by accident, and then I posted that tower screenshot, and I guess things developed from there.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting, because between Doom the way it did and Back to Saturn X are the two things that have helped me grow the most as a mapper.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, without either of it's just the level of feedback you get just from everybody who knows what the heck they're talking about.
Right.
Is unreal. And being able to work on that, have people nitpick the heck out of it and tell you exactly what to do, and of course keep it all in vanilla limits, that by itself is a huge exercise.
Yeah,
that really. The only people who would ever realize that are the ones who have done stuff for it. So it's the coolest thing I've ever worked on, just hands down. No offense to anyone else whose projects I've been a part of, but
is there anyone you wouldn't recommend it to? I mean, is it impossible to overstate? I say this, of course, at the risk of building up the hype, so it's some damaging capacity. But
I guess if you absolutely hate Doom, I would say not play it. That sounds really kind of egotistical, since I'm involved in it.
Because I know. Essel has cited perhaps an overabundance of tech maps. I think people just went extremely happy with the new textures, and maybe went a little overboard, but again, I think you have to have the impatience of a, well, you have to be very extremely impatient in order to not. How many maps are there for it?
I actually couldn't give you an exact count, but it is.
There's no end in sight.
There is no end in sight for this project. The release date should be pretty interesting, just without spoiling anything. Let's just leave it at that.
I think the last time I checked, we had, well, I don't know if I should say this. There are at least, I think, around 50 maps completed so far, and more on the way.
Pretty close to that amount, I would say. You're about right. it's and every once in a while somebody will sneak in and contribute a new little speed map now and then, so it's
right.
It is a huge undertaking. But so, yeah, but
definitely not in one sitting, ladies and gentlemen. That's basically what we're saying.
Okay, actually, I would not recommend you play this if you obsessively compulsively cannot get up and take a break if you're in the middle of playing a boss, because it will probably kill you. But no, it's a really cool project, and huge props to Essel for starting it up and for everybody who's involved in it, because it's just a massive, amazing undertaking, and glad to be a part of it, guys. Thanks.
I think it's really incredible that, you know, we're lucky enough when we get collections of like 10 maps from some of these authors, and, you know, lucky when we get collections of 20 maps or a whole megawatt of 32, but to get like 2 megawatts full of maps from all these skilled artists is...
Oh my gosh, it's like the biggest party ever. It's like this is kind of like the Doom equivalent, I feel, of those gigantic, huge rock charity concerts where you have all these big stars get together and play a couple of songs each.
Totally. But, it's like the Avengers of Doom. Assemble.
Yes. Oh, why didn't I think about that? I am so... Oh, I'm not nerdy enough.
It's okay. I actually rehearsed that one. So. Guilt's on me.
I've sort of felt like... this project, Back to Saturn X, is sort of like if you combined Alien Vendetta with The Darkening Episode 2 and you made 3 times as many maps. That's what you get.
And then threw it into the void and took it back out. Right? I guess threw a third bit into the void.
Right.
I think Essel understood that the only way that he could rein in all of these quality mappers is if he provided an awesome vessel for them to map in. Sort of just something just tantalizing that they couldn't ignore, they couldn't say no to. I think he succeeded there. And probably too well, because now we have all these maps. And I know he, for one, is at least slightly worried that there may be too many maps for people to handle, which doesn't make sense to me, but oh well.
Yeah,
I'm not like, complaining, that's for certain.
I actually think he has reached the point where he's like, guys, we're doing too many maps, we should stop.
I don't know how many times I've seen him say that we don't need any more Episode 1 maps, and... If anyone wants to do another Episode 1 map, save it for an expansion pack.
Do it right now. It'll be funny. I want to see the reaction. Do it. I encourage you, but don't tell him I said this. Essel, if you're listening, I'm not actually saying these words. Tango's putting them in my mouth.
So, Tango, what questions do we have from the community for Mr. Saison?
From the community. Let's start off...
That aren't from Hellbent.
That aren't from Hellbent. Well, we do have a lot of Hellbent questions.
I think that narrows down all the possible questions we could ask. No, seriously, thanks for sending the list, Hellbent. It's good looking over and kind of getting an idea of what to think and what to talk about.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's take a question from Skillsaw. His first question, Zazer, one of your biggest strengths as a mapper is the ability to bring highly abstract and curiously surreal settings to life. Presently, though, you're working on a remake of Hacks, which seems to be more focused on realistic settings. So how does your surreal style affect your approach in designing the office parks and factories that you find in Hacks?
Oh, that's a really, really good question. It's an interesting approach for that same reason. It was something I caught myself thinking about a few days, not to take the idea out of your head, of course. but yeah, I was working on one of the maps and making some office buildings and thinking, you know, I'm spending time making this look realistic and I've never done this before. I think, of all things... let's see if I can think about how to answer this. There's still a lot you can learn from abstract, strange layouts. When I say that, I mean things like id-styled maps, old-school things, and levels that don't really aim to be realistic, I should say. Plutonia is a great example, too. A lot of maps are built solely for gameplay. The layouts are made out so that you have the maximum amount of fun as you run through playing them. They're built around ambushes, that sort of stuff. Most of the original game was built like this. And I've tried to kind of bring in my own mapping efforts. Can't speak too much for the other guys. They do good stuff, but can't see inside their brains just yet. In my own mapping efforts, I always try and extend that mentality to the layouts, kind of making an organic, flowing, open-ended sort of world you can explore. While it still looks a lot more realistic than you would expect from a Doom map, what I'm hoping to achieve with it is to put you in the inside of a place that feels and looks real and makes you want to roam around and explore, and of course make it open enough that you can do that.
Right.
So even though you're wandering through office buildings and subway stations and hollowed out cities, there's still plenty of areas for you to roam around. The abstractness kind of comes from the layout, the architecture. You can just kind of go where you want, see what you do, kind of a non-linear approach of things. But there's a lot you can take from that style of mapping and put it into even realistic levels of detail and produce a better result, if that makes any sense. I feel like I'm getting a little rambly, but case in point, the layouts in terms of how you approach the map and how you progress through the levels, I'm hoping will still kind of evoke that feeling of organic, open-ended strangeness.
Right.
Even if the levels look kind of...
On that point, do you think there's a particular map that you've created that sort of captures this epitome? Sort of is an exemplar example. Is a good example of your style, basically.
And PAX particularly, you mean? Or you mean just in general, I guess?
Well, I mean, maybe something more popular that many people will have played and be able to sort of identify with.
Possibly. Let me think. Of course, the first most of my release stuff actually tends to be a bit more linear than I want to say No End in Sight, but it's not quite as played yet since it's still in beta. I'm trying to kind of approach it similar to the way the No End in Sight maps are set up, kind of a more old school, open ended feeling. I guess a fairish comparison would be Map 25 from Plutonia Revisited. Because Helix is a bit straightforward and linear in terms of progression, but Wicked Garden gives you a little bit more room to explore kind of at the beginning, whether you want to go into the pipes or around the caves, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite things to do with the map is to make it so that there's not really one area to progress. And I feel almost like I'm getting in a soapbox here, but one of the things that makes maps the hardest to navigate is when you have something that looks really huge and open-ended, and then you constrict it and make only one direction accessible to the player, because then you have to play the game of where do I go next.
Right.
And there's like, this perceived non-linearity when in actuality it's really only ever sending you one place. That's sort of frustrating, I find.
Yeah, a little bit. It tricks you to think it's non-linear because it looks all nice and open. I wish I could come up with an idea off the top of my head. I should have done my research more. But sometimes you'll catch yourself thinking, I guess Eternal Doom would be a good example of this, because in a lot of cases you'll find yourself like, oh, you got to find a switch to progress and go on. And even though the maps are really, really huge, since there's only one way to proceed and so many different places to explore to find that way, you just can't find it. And I actually found the opposite. And in fact, I ended up kind of doing this a bit in the Zetum Community Map Project too. There was a time where there was a lot of interlocking areas, but most of them were locked off to the player. And my approach to solving kind of the navigation, where the heck do I go next issues, was actually to knock out all of these walls and barriers and make it so, the idea being that when you ask yourself the question, where do you go, the answer becomes anywhere. When you actually have something that's open-ended and nice and big to explore, you can go wherever you please. And if you make the actual end goal something pretty noticeable, like a key or a door, something that actually sticks out, but provide plenty of ways to get to it, then you not only let the player freely explore, but kind of give them a clear idea of where to go to. So it's a nice way of eliminating that where the heck do I go next feeling. So I try and do that in my own maps. I really like kind of the id style design, like maps in Doom, the way it did this pretty fantastically. A lot of stuff in Back to Saturday X does. One thing that comes to mind is, I want to say it's one of Skillsaw's maps, the really sandy temple area. It's there's like a big central pyramid looking thing where you need all three keys to enter. And at that point, your objective is to wander around the map and get the keys and exit. Right. And it's a really simple, basic, easy setup. But the nice thing about it is that there's so many different ways to actually reach the objective. But at the same time, the objective is not dense. It's not it's not something like, oh, I got to jump through this hoop and figure out where to run off this ledge, that sort of thing.
Right. And so, I mean, once the objective has been provided to the player, it doesn't really matter what the rest of the map does. As long as, you know, the player has that objective in mind wherever he goes, sort of thing.
Right.
So it can play out in a non-linear fashion, preferably, and give the player the sort of sense of free reign, I guess. Mm-hmm. Which is certainly true of Skill Source Map, I know that much. But I actually had a slight criticism with Back to Saturn X as a whole, and I'm not sure if members of the community will identify this when they actually play the map, but I actually felt that many of the maps did have that sort of perceived non-linearity in size, but that they were actually straightforward. They had this sort of looping design, which is all very convenient and looks very nice, and it's sort of the player comes back on himself and all the objectives are in mind, but it really is just a one-way street and half the time. Although that could just be a problem of there being too many maps and those just are the ones that stick out, which is an impossibility because they all stick out because they're all awesome.
Actually, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's interesting because it's, I guess, an example in both regards, because there's so many maps that a lot of them are open, but there's a lot of kind of smaller ones usually that follow that pattern. But the good thing about it is that even in that area, they're really, really good about make it pretty clear where you want to go. And that's a little closer to the modern game sense of one direction forward, big areas, but usually not too many areas to explore, that sort of thing. There's a place for both. If you make everything a huge nonlinear romp fest, even though I'm like a huge proponent of that, then maybe sometimes people will get kind of tired of it. So
it's pretty important to juxtapose, I think. I mean, I know, for example, in Hell Revealed, I think it's map 19 or 20, which is just, it's quite literally just a run up the guts. It's from point A to point B, and it's unashamedly linear, and it just serves as a sort of brilliant segue. I know Hell Revealed probably isn't the best example of a map set to bring up because it's all slaughter, save for the first 10 maps. But yeah, I think it's a necessity that you spice things up, especially in community projects.
Yeah, very murder everything sort of sense.
More questions? Maybe.
I shouldn't be saying go ahead. Dang, you guys should do that. You're the masters of the show. I'm just blabbing on. Okay.
We're rank amateurs. I am, at least. So.
I would also like... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying an off-the-cuff remark. It's funny because, like, having Alfonso here in kind of a speaking role with... I know it's awful because it's just because of the accent, but every time I hear you speak, I think Total Biscuit just immediately.
Oh, dear.
No! So, yeah, I know. Shoes to fill. But it's interesting because I keep thinking, this guy has to do, like, you two need to do more of this just because of that. Like, seriously.
I despise Turtle Biscuit. How dare you make that comparison?
I have disguised my subtle insult as a non-insult. Yeah,
that's
a
compliment.
Pretty.
Okay.
All right. Well, moving on, let's take Skillsaw's second and final question. He says, the year is 2012, and you've decided to make a new version of Zen Dynamics. What's the same, and what changes? You can revamp as much or as little as you like.
Crazy.
Okay. This is going to seem almost like a cop-out answer, but what changes? Everything. What stays the same? The name. Zen is interesting because it's... Oh, that sounds so awful, but... I'm actually kind of surprised. Zen started as kind of a random one-off. I figured out how to do reloading weapons and needed some maps to go with it. And I was kind of taken by surprise. People seem to really, really like it, and I'm happy about it. But at the same time, just it's not aged well from a coding perspective. It's the reloading weapons are used a weird ACS hat because I couldn't think of anything better, and the maps were kind of rip-off-y and not super great. It's enough that if I ever wanted to redo it over again, I would... do it from scratch.
Right.
Maybe use some of the sprites and assets and reuse it, but for the most part, a new Zen would need to be a new project. And there might be some... I don't want to spoil things as they're kind of under wraps, but there might be something that someone's working on, not me, but to possibly address that in the future. We'll just kind of giving some hints out. Zen has always been an interesting thing to think about because it was just the one random project that didn't really mean much that ended up turning out awesome, and glad for community support for it, for sure. But it's looking back personally, I feel that there's just, I wouldn't have got to where I was today, whatever that means. I see myself as some guy who does maps. That's it. It gave me a lot of experience, but at the same time, it's just, you have to suck before you can get good. And Zen's coding stands out as a good example of that. So yeah, a lot of it would be a new Zen would be a level set exploring, kind of the same thing, Zedum based, lots of reloading guns, lots of new creatures, all sorts of stuff. But it would kind of, it would fundamentally be a new project. As fun as it is, it's the one thing that I would not mind doing over from scratch. Talking about kind of the scrap thing from earlier.
Well, sort of on the other hand, is there anything that you've made, in the past that you feel has actually aged really well and that you're completely satisfied in the current moment?
Possibly. I guess to kind of answer the question fairly, it would be slightly, not recent stuff I've done.
Right.
I wonder if it's too soon to mention Plutonia Revisited, because I'm actually kind of happy with how that turned out. Feels almost kind of egotistic to say, oh, I made something awesome. but looking back, authors are always really, really critical of their own work. And, Zen, I'm really critical of that as... So, Sector is a neat concept, but the gameplay is god-awful. Anyone who says the gameplay is decent is probably just being really, really nice.
Well, I think it comes across as an experiment before anything else, really. So.
Right. It's kind of one of those, I guess it's forgivable sort of things, but it's just so grindy and slow and silly. I had no idea what I was doing when I made the monster placement at all. So those I'd say have not aged well. But I've gone back and played Plutonia Revisited a couple of times, and I'm somewhat happy with the way they turned out. I actually, of all
this
things...
This is all false modesty. You can tell, right?
Got it. I'm trying to... I always feel uncomfortable kind of talking about my own stuff, because I know it's either going to sound like false modesty or me being like... just to throw that reference out. But no, really, I'm mostly happy with Wicked Garden. Helix is all right, but there's a lot of funny hacks I had to put in there that I'm not really proud of to get under the visplane limit.
I have to say that's my personal favorite, by the way. Just to show my fanhood.
Wait, which one? The
Wicked Garden. Yeah.
Oh,
to clarify, Essel and I played your maps however many years ago, whenever that came out. Is Wicked Garden... I remember a segment at the end where you're in... one room, and then you go through a teleporter, and it's the same room, but it's overgrown with vines.
Oh yeah, that's the one.
The map.
I guess what I was doing there is chucking you into the future. Oh, this is what happens years later, or something.
Right.
Because time travel's weird. No, thanks. I'm happy with that one. How that one turned out, because I actually had a specific goal in mind when I set out to do it. Which is funny, because the entire reason I started the map is because towards the end of POCP development, Joshi was kind of worried, oh gosh, I'm not sure if we're going to have enough maps. And so I thought, okay, I'll contribute another one just in case, and kind of started it off the cuff. And of course, the one I didn't plan on and work on a whole bunch, Helix, I actually spent all this time on and took forever to get done, and then I did Wicked Garden in 2 weeks, and it turned out better, I think. Funny. But... the whole point of the map was to challenge the idea of slaughter maps. I actually specifically limited myself to less than 100 monsters. Right. It has exactly 99 monsters in UV, and it still plays pretty challenging and evil, despite, I think. So I'm kind of happy with how that one turned out, because I had something in mind for it, and it actually managed to build something. So I guess that's okay. That, I guess, would come out. I'm still kind of... I like... I don't hate my Doom the Way It Did efforts too bad, and I'm actually kind of fond of NEIS, mostly Natural 20 stuff, because he's like a ninja wizard mapper. But
I think your styles are actually quite similar in some respects. Certainly, architecturally, they all have that sort of zany grandeur about them. Maybe right. if I could put it that way.
Yeah, that project is kind of interesting, because it completely came out of nowhere, and I guess it. Okay, I'm launching into a tangent. Is this okay?
You've been doing it for the last hour. Don't see why I can't do it now.
That's why you're here.
I guess that's the only... Thank you. Yeah, that that was cool because it was kind of, I don't know, what's the right word? Serendipitous? I don't know. I vaguely even know what that means. But it kind of came out of nowhere because he made N1.Wad, beginning of the end, old vanilla map set that I still maintain is one of the greatest megawads ever made and is one of the closest things to the original Doom maps, sans Doom the way it did, I suppose. And it's interesting because I was browsing through my email and I got a message from some guy whose name immediately stuck out to me, Emil Brundage. I'm like, I know that. This what? And I click it open and he's actually he sent me a mail saying that he had played Lost Episode of all things and said he really, really enjoyed it. And so he and I got to talking and he was working on a map set and actually he was working on a End 4 at the time, which if you ever seen screenshots of this gigantic, huge, insane industrial complex, it is obscene and awesome. Awakening was the first map of that one. It's also a really, really great level. Look it up. But he was working on that then, and it was actually when Doom the Way It Did was kind of starting out and kind of petering out. He and I started taking our maps, some of the rejects we had done, and throwing them into a WAD, and it just kind of spawned no end in sight. But it was just, it's so funny because I almost feel like I'm speaking for him unfairly saying this, but it almost seems like we're each other's favorite mapper and we're working together on a project, and it's weird how we just kind of randomly met on email over that, saying, "Hey, I like your maps. Oh, dude, you too." So it's a really strange project. Just thinking about that, and it sounds awful and egotistic when I say it. I'm like, "Oh gosh, no, I don't mean it like that." But it's been a blast working with him, and even though he can be stubborn as heck sometimes, oh gosh, as nitpicky as I can get, he makes me look like a lamb. Like what's the best I can come up with? That is awful. Okay. You look like crap. Somebody give somebody, I don't know, in Gandhi. I don't know. But Gandhi was actually
That'll do, that's fine.
Okay, let's go away from that topic since my brain decided to fail me at a critical moment.
There's actually there is a question I wanted to ask before we get back to the community posed questions. And that's regarding joke wads.
Oh yes.
Because I mean, I know was it 2010 when the joke award category for the CAC awards was actually removed, and was that the same year in which you managed to slot in Turbocharged Arcade the day before? do you have like a special affinity for joke awards? Do they have a special place in your heart?
They do. There's something really weird, and it's kind of almost shameful to say it, but I like purposely bad stuff. It's to some degree. Sometimes it can be too awful, but there's just something funny about why the hell am I watching this? I think it was just because I watched Orphan House at a young age, and that scarred me for life. But no reactions, really? Please tell me you've seen Orphan House.
Not from my neck of the woods, I can assure you.
Me neither.
Oh, okay. We need to fix this at some point. Long story short, it makes everything I say look sane. But I started off kind of making a bunch of joke waddy stuff because, of course, it's a lot easier to map when you're not making it look good at all. So I kind of have a historical old love for them. But there's just something about awful, stupid, why is this funny humor that gets me every time. And I don't want to say the joke wad is completely dead. It's kind of dormant. Because that year for the CAC awards, that was the year before they got rid of it, actually. And it was...
All right, okay.
Because that was CAC Award 7, and 8 was last year's, and was the first one that they removed the category since they switched over. Hobbs does it now, and they just got rid of it because there's no reason for it anymore. Right. That was... Turbo 2 was mostly Jimmy. He was one of the guys who did a lot of maps for Turbocharge back when it was supposed to be a huge community joke fest, 100 level WAD, I kid you not. and he was really enthusiastic about it, and so we kind of got together and decided to polish up the levels we did do and release them as a second episode, just because kind of a last hurrah for it. And as kind of an in-joke, we just decided, hey, what if we release it on CAC Award Day? And ended up making it the night before just to see what happens, and someone ninja edited it, and I guess Scuba did that. Thanks, I suppose.
Brilliant.
But no, I've always had a love for joke watch, just because they're obscenely funny in the weirdest possible way. So
nothing scares me more or makes me laugh more at the same time than a giant Hitler cube barreling down the tunnel towards me at ungodly speeds.
That's
just a personal favorite moment.
I was playing that map one day, and I have a German grandma, and she's in like her 70s or 80s, and she saw me playing that. She was extremely confused why I was playing a game with Hitler in it.
Hitler on a picture that's charging towards you at high possible.
Yeah, I turned it off after that.
Oh, did you manage to explain it to her at all? Because if I want to hear what the explanation is. It has to be good.
I don't think I really tried to justify that. She's not one that likes to. She wouldn't have any of that. She just kind of glared at me. So I figured it was time to just turn it off.
Oh, okay. My bad, I guess.
Okay.
I didn't mean there to be any sort of actual animosity and or making fun of any real people in this. It's like any similarity to real people is very, very unfortunate.
Well, I guess we'll move on to some of Hellbent's questions, because there are some good ones. There are some good ones.
No, there are, yes. Yeah.
Actually, this is not just his question, but something I was wondering as well, and something I'd like to ask in every one of these interviews is, how did you get started in Doom mapping, and how did you perceive yourself as you went along all these years? I know, a lot of people when they start out, or in my case at least, I wasn't aware of the community. So when I started out, I thought my maps were the shit. and then I've gone through various phases of hating my work and loving it and hating it, just sort of based on community feedback. So what has your journey been like in that respect?
Oh, dear. Okay, I'm going to have to give the abridged version. Cause...
In brief, yeah.
Yes. No, I've actually followed the same pattern for sure. Most of us have. It's kind of a process of being an artist and also being a teenager as part of being an artist. Of course, we think it's awesome. I joined the Doom community at the ripe old age of 13 in 2003, which was really interesting, and I kind of apologize to all parties involved who had to put up with me back then. There's just no two ways to say that. But I just jumped in, I'd found Doom before and played it as a kid, loved it as a kid. And of all things, I got started into ZDoom because there was some old Hellraiser TC on Doom Wad Station that I downloaded and came packaged with it. So I found the ZDoom forums right when the newer forum software launched. If anyone remembers the old PH forums days, that was barely before my time. Well, I guess way before my time, but I joined in at the new forums, got stuck on them, couldn't leave, made a whole bunch of maps, and it's weird because I started off as mostly a weapon modding guy. I thought that was a lot easier than actually making maps, and a lot more fun at the time, because you could just open up Dehacked and change a few lines, and hey, I've got a rapid-fire shotgun. So I did weapon modding for the longest time, released a whole bunch of old crap. I kind of segued into mapping with things like joke wads at first, and then later Zen Dynamics, which kind of, in a way, I had to get a little better at mapping in order to do that. But
right.
it's kind of a weird journey because it almost feels self-centered in a way, because when I think of me doing mapping, it's always been, I say mapping, modding, I should say. It's always been just me modding because I have fun with it, not really too much more. There's a lot of authors out there who've kind of inspired me, helped out a whole bunch. Hui Pham comes to mind. I can't pronounce his name, but Isvelt 2 is amazing.
I'm guilty of that as well. Can't pronounce it.
But it's just, I don't even know why I'm throwing that out there. I just am, because despite that, I've always been kind of inward focused on, let's make stuff because I think it's cool, that kind of stuff. So I did weapon mods for the longest time because I liked them. I got into mapping later because I just started liking it okay. But it's not, I kind of detailed the history of what I did when in a post somewhere. I can't remember whether it was ZDoom or Doom World Forums. So somebody posed a similar question, like, how did you get your start? And so I talked a little bit about that side of things. But Tango kind of brought up the idea of thinking our own work is the awesomest stuff ever, and I've gone through some weird phases like that. And what comes to mind, actually, when you say that is I did Zen, and I thought it was kind of cool at the time, and didn't really mean for it to be cool. Like, oh, community likes it, cool. So I went on. But it wasn't until around Lost episode, actually, when I started getting – I had kind of an ego complex at that point.
This is 2008 or 9?
A little before that. Good question.
To sort of apply a time scale to this.
Okay, you know what's really silly is I'm actually looking up Lost episode on the archives to check. Okay, most recent was 09, so we're talking 08, 09-ish.
Okay.
Yep. So 18, yay, I can smoke. So I distinctly remember at the time sitting there making, like, I came up with the idea of Lost episode on a whim, like, hey, the PlayStation levels are pretty cool. I'm going to put them in an episode. So I did, and it was kind of neat. But I kind of overhyped the thing. All Lost episode was ever meant to be is just a goofy personal mod to make my own fifth episode for Doom based on some semi-official maps, because I thought it was cool at the time. And that's kind of the mentality that got me started into Doom the way it did. If you want to get into that later, that's actually cool, though. But for whatever reason, I had the idea that this is really cool, people will like this. And so I started kind of marketing it and advertising it on the forums a whole bunch. And I kind of oversold it, claiming that it was all, you know, retro and neoclassic, and looking back after Doom the way it did. I had no idea what I was doing. I'm just throwing random lines, making weird voidy stuff, and I guess it turned out okay if it got Mr. N1 to email me, but thanks for that. But I remember on release, a certain guy from the Zedo forums, Phobos, had a kind of scathing review of it. He didn't really like a lot of the stuff in it. And I got pissed. I was like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with this guy? He hates my WoW, and it's so great. And so, like, he and I had kind of an argue spat thing going on for a short while, and we're cool now. But looking back, that was just such a weird time, because I was sitting there thinking, oh, I released this thing, and people don't like it, and now I'm angry. And I was kind of associated that with Lost episode, and as much as I love the thing, I actually still maintain that episode 5 is kind of my favorite Doom episode to run through. It's very shameful, but just because it's a weird personal one. It's all it ever should be, but I oversold it, and then I got angry with people about it, and so I look back at that kind of chuckle a bit, because I know exactly how it feels to go through the egotistic thing, and, you know, this. I'm not saying I'm not now, because I'm sitting here thinking, okay, I can map decently, that counts for something, right? But it was interesting, because yeah, I remember approaching that thinking it was the greatest thing in the world, and when someone posted that it wasn't, being true, then I was kind of taken aback by it at first. So
right.
So I try to avoid that wherever possible.
It's very interesting that you bring up, and I'm very glad that you bring up Doom the way it did. Because I know certainly in my case it was, it was the first release I ever had, but it served me so well as a platform for beginnings as a mapper. But even if you weren't just starting out as a mapper, I think, and if you were a returning mapper, there's so much to learn. And there are so many good motives that you can adopt from the design, I think, in closer inspection, that can really lend to your style as a mapper, no matter who you are. So I mean, did you have a relationship with Doom the way it did that sort of? I think you mentioned this before. Your mapping sort of prospered as a result of that interaction.
Yeah, definitely. I mentioned before that Back to Saturn X and Doom the way it did are the two things that have kind of helped me grow the mapping, and that definitely holds true. And I also mentioned that Back to Saturn X is the coolest thing I've ever worked on Doom-wise.
Yeah.
I know. Gosh, that. Yeah.
You can't plug it enough. You're hyping it up, but I mean, this is all in good cause. Oh.
Okay, I say that to say that Doom the way I did is a really close second. You guys were great working with you, Alfonso and Essel and Megalith and all you guys for just kind of randomly. Oh gosh, it's a fun project, because it's very scholarly the way we kind of dived in and figured out what the old guys were doing, figured out all the stuff that could be applicable to maps today, and they are. Actually getting to put that in action and creating something that kind of resembles the original episodes, it's really kind of magical, because it's to me, it's like the ultimate tribute to the guys who originally made the game, and being able to actually be a part of that and say that, hey, I did a map for this thing that's this huge, awesome historical Doom project. It's great. Being able to say I did that, but yeah, that was a lot of fun, and it was such a strange process because it started out really strong, and then people got kind of tired of it, and then we had kind of a middle period where nobody had any idea what they were doing. And
it has a history, for sure.
I just jumped in out of nowhere. It was funny because I have trouble kind of sequencing the events in my head, but I did the E2M1, got modified quite a bit a little bit later, but submitted that and didn't think too much of it. And at some point, I started kind of mentally tallying, okay, here's where all the maps go. And I honestly can't remember whether Hellbent first brought it up or if I did, but long story short, Hellbent asked, hey, do you want to help kind of maintain the WAD and organize things? And I told him no at first, like, oh, you don't want me to organizing things. And then I did it anyway. It was kind of unfortunate. But I set up a little website and started tallying the maps and kind of unofficially did that until Elmo swooped in and did
much
better.
Oh, that was you. Oh, well.
Elmo did like most of the real grunt work, but behind the scenes, I kind of started keeping stuff. But later on, it's
actually curtain, sure.
Live a lot longer than either of us could, me and Hellbent. And I'm just kind of glad that it came from really oddball, humble origins almost into a really nice team effort that I would say it's successful.
Yeah, it seems to me almost that it succeeded most of all as a process than it did as an end result. And it's evident enough, I think, just in taking a look at the thread, the gargantuan thread, which is something in the realm of 2,000 posts long or more, which is a lot for a project thread. But
I actually kind of wonder, like, what's the world record for longest thread? Probably the half thread.
don't tempt something you won't regret. Will regret, rather.
That can of worms will never close again. But it's a really great project to be in. And Doom 2, the way it did, is going on right now, by the way, plug. And even though it's kind of in a lulls period right now, Doom, the way it did, had that also. And at some point, it's going to spike up, and we're going to get ourselves a nice product. Because even though Essel's being super, super picky, I think there's some really, really solid maps submitted so far. Not quite enough to, you know, have a full 32 maps for it, even including the questionable ones. But it'll pick up. Doom, the way it did, was in the same boat for a really, really long time, and it turned out decent. So same will happen here, I think. I've got hopes up for it.
Super.
I think it.
So what other questions do we have? Unless, sorry, Tango, did you have...
I was just going to say, it seems to me that a lot of these major projects go through that period where everyone's extremely excited at first, and the excitement keeps building, and then it just dies out for a little bit, because Back to Saturn X definitely had that... It was probably around this time last year that there were just, like, nobody was really submitting anything new, and I kept checking the forums every day, and there were no new posts. But then it just picked back up again at the end, and now we've got all this momentum.
Yeah, it kind of seems like a natural phase in most big projects that I've seen around here so far.
Right.
It's just... Even Xenom Community Map Project 2 had that. So it's different in its approach. For anyone who hasn't heard of the original kind of background for the listeners, the process for it, if you don't mind me tangenting here, was the original Xenom Community Map Project. The idea was that each person had a time slot, like of 2 or 3 days or so, that they could work on the map, and then they pass it off to the next guy, and they work on it, and keep doing that, so on and so forth, until you get to the end, and then they polish it up and released it. So we stuck to the same development model, basically meaning time slots. And sometimes we had people miss a slot, and we had some swaps and some other stuff, but for the most part, we all hit the slot. But the unfortunate side of things is that we ended up kind of almost biting off more than we can chew, because the map is so huge that in the later detail and gameplay balancing processes, we end up not getting it finished at the end of the final phase. And so it's set there, like... In a project that has specific time slots that people subscribe to and stuck to, we still ran into the lull phase because there was about 2 weeks afterwards, which was actually kind of my fault because I was holding onto the WAD, where doing anything, and Torm actually had to post a "What the hell is going on, guys?" thread in order to kind of spur everybody back into action. And it's getting pretty darn close now, so we kind of managed to kick it up. Through a fourth phase in there, but yeah, even if you plan it out to the T, who's going to do work where, it still feels like it's, I would say it's still natural for something to happen, unless you're doing it as your day job. it's a hobby project, so
right.
Everyone will kind of peter in and out every once in a while. Yes, you can peter in. That is a... I was... That phrase has to be really, really awkward if you're named Peter. Like, I... Anyhow, yes. So that's my thoughts, and I'm glad most projects tend to recover pretty well, even if people have to kind of kick it in the gear every once in a while.
Yep, I've seen it happen. Well, let's take a few more questions from the community, a.k.a. Hellbent.
Seriously, they could cover every possible avenue.
He must have had these typed out before I even came up with this idea, because there are like 30 questions that he has.
We'll just go through them all. You know, pitch a tent, camp out for the night.
Quick fire response, yeah. Western style, from the hip.
How do you...
If okay. I shoot from the hip, then that's not my fault.
Here's an okay question. How do you deal with mapper's block when it invariably occurs?
Oh, good. I need an answer to this.
Oh, dear. Okay, disclaimer, don't follow my model. It's awful. I have a bunch of different projects going at any given point. Just to kind of illustrate right now, I've got Zudum Community Map Project 2 open in Doom Builder. I've got both it and Hax open in Slade. I've got Psychic, Necrodoom, contributions for TNT 2, Doom 2 the way it did, sort of, concepts, I should say. Back to Saturn X. Lots of different things that I've kind of dipped my feet into. Hax, of course. How did I not mention Hax first? So... what happens for me is when I kind of get mapper's block, I'll bounce around to a different project.
Right.
For me, mapping and Doom modding in general has always been a for fun thing. So if I ever catch myself not really liking what I'm working on, I'll swap to something else. That's kind of my go-to method for alleviating it, because there's a pretty big variety of the different things. Like if I'm tired of mapping, I'll work on a weapons mod. If I'm tired of that, I'll switch back to something with heavy scripting like ZDCMP2. I'm working on scripting stuff right now. So I guess it's worth suggesting that if you're afraid of getting mapper's block, then always kind of have a backup of something else you kind of like working on the side, or even a game that you like playing, even though that's dangerous too, because then you can sit there playing it forever. But I've just kind of started tinkering with other things if something works, something kind of slows down a bit. And it's a curse sometimes, because I'm sitting on a lot of almost finished stuff, like two Back to Saturn X maps are finished except for monster placement, at least. And those really need to not be not finished, to not use a not double negative there twice.
So to overcome mapper's block, make more maps is the answer. I like
yes.
it. It's a subtle way to boost community output, I think.
I think also it's important that you mentioned having fun, because a lot of times when I run into mapper's block, I don't really think of it that way, and I feel like I should. If I'm not having fun, then why am I doing it in the first place? So that's definitely a good strategy. If you're not having fun, do something that is fun.
Yeah, that's my philosophy for sure.
Have a cold shower, run up a tree. That's what I do.
Literally run up it. That sounds awesome. Just like vertically. Do that thing where you run up the side and do a backflip and land on your feet. Not your face, like I would. Like I have. Don't tell. I'm kind of lucky I'll have a face, considering that let's past that. But yeah,
Quick, next question.
Okay, next question. Hellbent asks, do you think there's enough original mapping taking place today? Or do you think too much effort goes into fancy detail and not enough effort goes into developing distinct, original, and compelling maps with dynamic gameplay and stimulating design?
And contemporary.
On that note, actually, similarly, I'm wondering about, the way I've always sort of approached Doom maps is that, I'm just going to sit down and make something that's really fun, and I'm going to have a good time, and I'm not going to put too much thought into it. Which is very different from, sometimes like in school, for instance, I know in English classes, you're meant to sit there and analyze the shit out of everything. And so Doom has always been sort of a break from that, where you can just sit down and do something without putting too much thought into it. So along the lines of Hellbent's question, do you think that's the right way to do it, to sit down and make something without thinking too much? Or do you think that people should be thinking more about how they design things and what goes into a map? If that makes any sense.
No, it does, actually. First of all, to address the English class tangent, I actually honestly wonder how many authors actually intend for all of those things that English teachers will say they mean. Do you think Mark Twain had any idea what he was doing when he was writing things? If I was him, I would have just like randomly put words on the page. So, ha, joke's on you. You study all this for no... No, okay. That's just a random thought I've always had about English classes. I wonder if they actually meant this that the teacher says.
I think, I think every high schooler hears that.
Yes. Yeah, well, it's part of learning to overanalyze. That's what the class is for better or worse. But no, really, really good questions. To actually answer the question, I can't give you an answer because I'm a Zazer and not everybody's a Zazer. What works for me isn't going to work for the next guy. Some people will approach mapping by fleshing out absolutely everything, drawing it on paper, listing out objectives, areas, rooms, where they want each key to be, and we'll make an awesome map and it'll be kick-ass. And some people will just put pen to the paper and never stop and come out with something that came completely out of nowhere and it'll still be just as great. So a lot of that depends on what works best for you. And to new mappers, I would say that you're going to have to just experiment and figure out what works best for you. I mean, like me, I have such a weird, inconsistent approach that I'll do both. I'll sometimes plan things, sometimes won't. No real consistency there. But the actual way to approach things, it depends. To answer Hellbent's question, whether there's kind of enough creativity versus kind of detail focus, I do agree that the mapping standards have gotten a lot higher these days, especially with modern editors like Doom Builder 2 allowing you to 3D preview, auto-align, all that. It's definitely, I would say, both lower the bar and raise the standards for Doom mapping.
Right.
But that has not caused a deficit in good quality, actual awesome layout slash map slash gameplay at all. Just look at the last few CAC Award winners. If you like modern ZDoom stuff, then you can find Brutal Doom. I would even honestly recommend Legacy of Suffering if you like that sort of thing. As examples of really, really quality, awesome, amazing, very, very well polished, good stuff that corresponds, that kind of follows the really polished, high detail kind of thing. Whereas you also have Megawad releases, Vanguard and Reverie and all of those from last year that stand alone as awesome vanilla-ish old school projects that in their own right are also really good. So there is in the Doom community today something for everybody. And I actually think that with ports becoming more advanced and with more people getting involved in both ZDoom and with classic Doom, there's actually been a nice big spike since around Doom the way it did of vanilla mapping, which I'm happy about. That there is enough, there's something being built for everybody. There is more variety going on now than there ever was. A lot of that just because of what's possible. Because I can understand that some people will say there's been so much more focus on, you know, high-tech ZDoom projects versus classic maps, and some people will say the opposite if you visit Doom World and kind of see the CAC Award contenders. Yeah, there's more vanilla maps going on, but that's generally because they're kind of more acceptable to most. Yeah, I'll grant that.
As a sort of like follow-up question, because as you say, there's been a resurgence of vanilla maps recently, and I'm sort of curious as to where this has come from. I mean, do you think it's just as a result of features becoming, you know, more advanced, capabilities of engines and stuff sort of allowing for greater things and greater layouts, and then sort of people just becoming nostalgic of the past, of the more classic Megawads, and sort of wanting to go back to that? Or do you think it's something else? Because it's almost like a community epiphany that in 2011 we suddenly were just, there's a torrent, there's a deluge of new Megawads that were sort of opting for the 1990s sort of look.
I don't know. I guess I could make a bunch of guesses, but I don't really know if I could answer that. Because it's probably tons of factors. Some people might get tired of the new stuff and go back to their roots. It's kind of like a great awakening of the old stuff. What Renaissance? Would that be a turn for it? I don't know.
Yes.
It's like a yes.
Revival.
All right. I'm acting like I'm all sophisticated. I honestly can't really say. It's just I'm. If I had to take a guess, I honestly think it's in part of how Doom and what Doom is kind of growing, in terms of what the heck a Doom mod can be. The fact that there's more advanced mods being made kind of also influences there's more vanilla mods being made because more people just being interested in a lot of the stuff that actually it's like people are diving deeper into the game and understanding what it's about.
Right. It's an evolutionary process. It's not as though, you know, the community's reached a zenith and then just
No, I definitely don't. And looking through Hellbent's questions, there are a few questions that kind of go towards like, well, is Doom starting to stagnate, or you think Doom community is going to kind of die off soon? And right. that's me paraphrasing badly. He says them a lot more eloquently, but the answer is no. It's not. It's
indeed lies. It's slander.
If anything, it is growing and blooming even more so, to use some frilly terms, just because there's more you can do with the game. A lot of people are figuring out about it, but there's also lots and lots and lots of classic old school content, new quality, awesome stuff that's being made, and even stuff that blends the two. I mean, Black Saturn X is a classic vanilla Doom project that does not look like a classic vanilla Doom project. Nope. What the heck would you categorize it as? I don't know. It's the fact that we're approaching, what, the 19th year of Doom, and it's becoming even more robust and huge and awesome. Just, I would say that's a pretty damn good sign that the community is doing really well and is not going to show any signs of dying soon at all. I mean, eventually it'll kind of peter off someday, just like everything does, but it's not going to happen next year. Nope.
Words of inspiration there from the from the Caesar.
That is my two cents.
By the way, why do you refer to yourself in the third person all the time? Or haven't you noticed?
I guess I do that, don't I?
Do that, yeah.
Yes, you do.
I don't know.
That could be a personal question. You don't have to answer that.
No, wait, let me think. As long as I'm overthinking, I must overthink about everything. I guess just lots and lots of IRC and forum time of kind of speaking that way, because it's goofy and strange and weird and nonsensical, I guess. So.
Perfect. Brilliant.
I don't know. I talk how I do because I does.
Excellent. Right. And other superlatives. Okay, more questions.
Oh, yes.
Well, is there anything, Zazer, that you were hoping you'd be able to talk about that you haven't really gotten to talk about yet? Any of your maps that you wanted to go more depth in about?
I don't know. I guess I could sit here and kind of rail on about Hacks 2.0 and its grandness. It's going to be big. It's going to be like Eternal Doom, only not insanely impossible to figure out. That's my official spoiler of the moments on scale wise. But no, I most of the stuff that I've kind of, I had a couple of little things to kind of mental note mention this, mostly last episode, because I kind of felt like I needed to get that silliness off my chest. But no, y'all guys have picked up some really good questions and done a good job, and the community's composed some really good ones, and thanks for that. I think that's covered most of everything that I wanted to specifically talk about, aside from some greets and thanks and awesome stuff. So if I can do that now, I feel like I'm the guy at the Academy Awards speech, not at all, who's sitting there thinking, oh, thank you, Mom, and thank you, Dad, and thank you, family.
Thank you, my rabbit, and thank you, yep, sure.
Okay. So one of the reasons that I've stuck around the Doom community for so dang long is not just the game, but the fact that the people in it are really, really cool. Both of you guys, Fonz and Tango, for being around, being part of the 32 and 24 / Doom Twid crew and doing cool stuff. Big shout outs to everyone who's worked on Doom the way it did. Essel in particular is just a really cool guy who's fun to talk to.
He is. We are definitely going to interview him. Just by the way.
He's still a tyrant. I maintain that.
Oh, yes. He's just like pulling aside. We have you now. You are now ours for the next X minutes, you tyrannical being. Thanks to them. Thanks to a few close friends of mine, Kate and Master of Death and Bouncy, for kind of being a IRC land. I know I'm shouting out to everybody. But it's just cool being part of a community where it's actually fun to hang out with.
I think the sentiments will be similar for many people in the community as well.
Yeah. I'm proud to be.
Just in closing for me, at least, because I always wanted to ask, like, is that David Tennant in your Zed Doom avatar?
That is indeed David Tennant.
Are you a fan of Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's it. That's all I wanted to say.
It's just Doctor. And don't tell me, because you're probably going to expect me to say stuff from season 6 and onward, and no, I have not seen 6 and onward yet. I've only got up to 5. I know it's awful. I haven't quite warmed up. He's doing a pretty good job. But yes, I got stuck on Doctor Who for quite a while and need to get back on it. What it is I have a torrent of the first 4 episodes. First 4 seasons / series, if you want to get really particular. But I don't have the newer ones, and so I will rewatch old episodes instead. So, yeah. So as parting words, I guess, whatever you do, don't blink. Yeah, all that cliche nonsense. But yes.
Those are scary. Sorry. You're going to give me nightmares. Thanks.
No problem, I think. Oh, gosh. Oh, see, that's something that I almost feel like didn't get a chance to bring up. Nah.
Maybe next time.
Yeah.
Okay, next time. Sure.
Let's wait till the next tangent, whenever that might be. Okay. Good luck, I guess.
All right. And Hellbent was nice enough to send me this in the list of questions. He says, thank you, blank. Thank you, Zazer. It's been a real pleasure.
Oh, why, thank you, blank. Tango and Fonz, thanks for, I guess if we're kind of wrapping up, I want to say thanks for kind of taking the time and picking me out of a random crowd as kind of the test dummy for this sort of thing.
On that note, I suppose if anyone else wants to step up to the plate and become the interviewee, then as you can see, we don't bite much. No. So.
I think I'm mostly alive. I think. You might have to check my pulse.
All right. Well, again, thank you for doing this. We will, perhaps we'll revisit you in the future, or you will get to interview someone else. I guess
that would be.
We'll see how everything goes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for taking the time, guys. It's been fun.
And don't go just quite yet. I'm gonna stop recording, but you guys stay on for a second. But
no, I can't leave. Ah, I'm stuck forever.
All right. This has been Tango. And this is Tango TV for now, until we get a better title, and I guess we'll see you guys next time.